The Quackcast, Revenant Edition. This is the 249th. It's called Garden of Healing from July 15th, 2025. The references, clever hyperlinks, and the original photographs of the plaques can be found at the science-based medicine article of the same name, Garden of Healing, from July 15th, 2025. My wife is a master gardener and would rather spend time in the garden than do just about anything else. I just do the heavy lifting and digging, but do take all the credit when the garden is complimented. It's a holdover from my working days. When things go well, take full credit. When things go south, blame nursing. I am uncertain just what she is going to do with that 3x6x6 foot hole she's digging in the back. A water feature? I don't know. She's been rather tight-lipped about it. Anywho, when we travel, we usually check out botanical gardens, and I find them fascinating. The variation in plants is remarkable, the best of DEI. Although I wish they would have more on the whys of the plant. What was the environmental pressure that led the plants to evolve to look like that? When we were in Adelaide, we went to the Adelaide Botanical Gardens, one of the better botanical gardens we have seen. As we wandered about, we came across the Garden of Healing. Quote, "The Garden of Healing conceptualizes the use of medicinal plants from Eastern and Western cultures. Species from the Middle East and Northern African regions, China, India, indigenous Australia, and North and South America have been gathered to form a collection rich in the diversity that specializes in healing properties. Themed garden beds have been designed to represent these cultures as well as Western cultures represented by a themed garden bed incorporating medicinal plants from Europe. The Garden of Healing demonstrates the historical contribution of plants for over 60,000 years, as well as the importance of plants in pharmaceutical discovery and modern medicine. The Garden of Healing is also a necessary platform to aid in the understanding of defensive and remedial plant properties for the future." As I read the plaques in the Garden of Healing, I thought it would be fun to compare the content with reality, as they struck me as a bit gullible. Although it is admitted that they are constrained by space. You can't put a whole SBM analysis on a small plaque. Can't make a plaque big enough for a Gorski, which really should be a unit of measurement. As an example, this podcast is a quarter Gorski. Let's not go into what unit of measurement a chrysalis might be. Nah, wouldn't be prudent. Of course, I recognize there is nothing intrinsically unreasonable about plants as a source for efficacious medications. My career is based on giving modified bacterial and fungal products to people. Many a valuable medication has originated in plants. However, in the past, treating mostly self-limited diseases with various plants makes causality and efficacy suspect. I do not know if I managed to photograph all the plaques in the gardens. Darkness and rain were hitting our way, and we were in a bit of a rush, so I likely missed a few. And at least one liverwort was obscured by liverwort, or maybe that's a disease. As I say, all the photographs can be found over at the Science-Based Medicine article. So exactly what liverwort, and the plant does have the coolest name, was alleged to treat is not known. Anyone wants to send me back to Adelaide to see? Let me know. Do you think it's a good reason for a GoFundMe? Seems as good as most. It looks to be Hepatica nobilis. While I can't read the plaque, asserts suggest that it was used for liver gallbladder problems, hence the name. Nothing, however, on the PubMeds for clinical trials. A review suggests, quote, "Medicinal use of Boreophytes dates to ancient times, but it has always been marginal due to their small size, difficult identification, lack of conspicuous organs," ooh, that sounds unpleasant, "which would attract attention, flowers and fruits, and the insipid taste of the herb." Insipid taste. I guess that's why I never had a liverwort sandwich. Quote, "Nature's earliest medicine. People all over the world have developed herbal medicine along with rituals and philosophies that seek to explain what plants work and why." But of course, not if the plants work. That's the tricky part. Quote, "Many ancient remedies have been backed up by modern science, while others have been debunked." There are herbs that heal, or should that be herbs that eel? But science cannot yet explain how they work. I do not think I would use debunk. That, for me, is reserved for batshit crazy divorce from reality, like acupuncture and homeopathy and tariffs. Quote, science cannot yet explain how they work. Probably. If indeed it works, usually such a statement means the intervention does not work and there is nothing to explain. You know, like, again, homeopathy. Quote, the botanical world still holds many secrets for us to discover. No argument there. Lots of potential treatments, likely in plants, soon to vanish with climate change. Quote, does it really work? In many traditional medical practices, ritual and spiritual powers of the healer are a major part of the treatment. While some herbal medicines have been found to have a scientific basis, others seem to have no effect in clinical trials. Seem to have no effect in clinical trials? So they don't work, simple enough. Do you think the Garden of Health will go to the trouble of identifying which plants have potential and which have been shown as worthless? A vital piece of information, I would think. But you know the answer. They didn't bother. Quote, perhaps it is not the chemical compounds in the plant, but the belief in the treatment process itself that heals. This type of healing is well known to medical science and is called the placebo effect. Modern clinical trials take the placebo effect into account by comparing test drugs to inactive versions, which the patient not knowing which one they're taking. A placebo might not have any pharmacological basis, but its effects are no less real for those who are cured. The person may well ask, if it works, does it matter? Then why have a Garden of Healing at all? Such a lack of understanding of placebo. They really need to read science-based medicine. But it matters if you are treating anything serious and you're paying for it. Quote, drugs are not always necessary, but belief in recovery always is. Norman Cousins. It is one of those aphorisms that sound good until you think about it. I cured many an infection, and belief in recovery played no role whatsoever, nor did the lack of belief result in treatment failure. Quote, explore the Garden of Health to discover the amazing stories of plants that heal. In the Garden of Healing, take a walk through 60,000 years of plant-based medicine. See how different cultures use plants to treat and prevent illness, and how modern medicine can benefit from this knowledge. Plants have been part of our lives and our health since earliest times. They relieve pain, enhance desire, altered our minds, and lifted our spirits. Oddly, they have neither hops nor barley, the two most important plants that, when combined, relieve pain, enhance desire, alter the mind, and lift the spirit. Quote, treating the whole body. From head to toe, inside and out, there is a plant for every part of the body. Well, that's not how biology works. Plants target physiology, not anatomy. I know, it's an artful simplification for the sake of limited space, but misleading, and it just bugs me. Quote, in these beds, you will find plants that help with all kinds of bodily functions, from sharpening the mind to improving digestion, helping the heart to soothing the skin. Well, we'll see, won't we? Quote, while most of these plants have been used since antiquity, science is getting to know them afresh and finding new application for time-honored remedies. We probably know barley, Hortium vulgare, best known as a cereal grain used in soups, stews, and brewing. It has also had a long reputation as a general promoter of good health. Scientists now hope that compounds in barley will turn out to be effective cancer treatments. So I looked it up. There are a few in vitro studies to suggest barley has effects on colon cancer, but there are no clinical studies to show clinical utility. And always remember cells. And I love the hover over comment. Quote, the art of healing comes from nature, not from the physician. Therefore, the physician must start from nature with an open mind. But not so open that your brain falls out. I will also note, given the mortality of some infectious diseases, nature ain't doing such a great job. Quote, plants are the pharmacy of 80% of the world's people who depend upon traditional medicine for their main form of healthcare. Many of them are featured in the garden. I guess that in part explains the low life expectancy of so much of the world through history. I am glad I have not needed to depend upon traditional medicine for the three or four processes that could have killed me back in the good old days. quote, 20,000 BCE, Ice Age cave paintings? Ice Age cave paintings in Europe show the use of plants as healing agent. You know, if so, I can't find that example. Perhaps my Google foo is lacking, and I spent a long time looking. One review of cave art suggests, quote, of the 5,786 depictions identified across 113 European Paleolithic caves, only 0.7% featured plants. The identification of plants from drawings is somewhat ambiguous due to a lack of detail in some images, making interpretation of images difficult in some cases. Interestingly, the underrepresentation of plants in cave art during the Paleolithic has been reported from other sites outside of Europe. And how do they know that the Ice Age cave painting, if it actually exists, actually shows plants being used for medicinal purposes? Ever since the ludicrous idea that Atsi the Iceman used acupuncture, I have been skeptical of Ice Age interpretations of paintings and other things. Hallucinatory conclusions predate AI. Quote, rosemary, Rosinarius officinalis, has probably been used medicinally since prehistoric times. As well as treating headaches and indigestion, rosemary extracts have shown promising anti-cancer properties in the lab. On PubMed, I find zero hits for clinical trials of rosemary and either headache or indigestion. For cancer, many chemicals from rosemary have effects on a wide variety of cancers in the test tube. Quote, rosmarinic acid and carnosic acid are potent polyphenolic compounds found in rosemary extract. They have been extensively studied for their biologic properties, which include anti-diabetic, anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, and anti-cancer activities. In addition, they have demonstrated effective anti-proliferative properties against various cancers, making them promising targets for extensive research to develop candidate or leading compounds for cancer treatment. Although, as of the time of this podcast, no rosemary product has moved on to clinical trials unless it was in the author's first name. 1500 BCE. Quote, the Vedas, four sacred Hindu texts, document the underlying philosophies of Ayurvedic healing. Philosophy, not reality, mind you. Forskolin, from the herb plectranthus, forskinii, I'm mispronouncing all these, has wide-ranging medicinal benefits owing to its ability to lower blood pressure and reduce inflammation. As to blood pressure, there are a few clinical trials. One, cardiovascular effects of coforsen daprolate hydrochloride for acute heart failure after open heart surgery showed, quote, after 2 to 3 hours after administration, heart rate and cardiac index decreased and pulmonary artery and central venous pressure decreased significantly. But blood pressure and systemic venous oxygen saturation did not show significant change. And in another study in obese diabetic men, which compared forskolin to placebo, quote, systolic blood pressure changes were not shown to be statistically significant across time, and there was no significant differences among groups at initial, mid, or final measurements. In fact, within both groups, a trend toward a significant reduction in systolic blood pressure was shown for both forskolin and placebo. No significant differences or trends toward significance was observed for diastolic blood pressure or in actual change in diastolic blood pressure at any time point. So, not impressed. Although forskolin and derivatives do appear to have a variety of other effects on the cardiovascular system, none appear to have made it to clinical trials. And if not circumcised? Sorry, couldn't resist that joke. Reduced inflammation is a tough one, as that can mean damn near anything. In a variety of models, it has effects on a variety of inflammatory endpoints. Take your pick. However, I could find no clinical utility or clinical trials. 1492 AD, quote, Columbia voyaged across the Atlantic. New plants became known to the West. Echinacea purpura was used for centuries by Native Americans for a range of afflictions, ranging from snake bite to toothache. Used echinacea? Yep. Did it help snake bite? Doubt it. The PubMeds are not unsurprisingly helpful for clinical trials. Who would enter such a study, much less organize one? A huge number of herbs have been supposed to have effects on snake bites. Boy, our forebears got snake bit a lot. Do they work? Who knows? And dead men tell no tales. And there are no clinical trials for toothache. Could it help? Don't know. But in an often self-limited process, single tales of efficacy are useless. As has been said many times, the pearl of anecdote is anecdotes, not data. 1545 AD, quote, Padua's botanical garden opens as part of medical school in 1545. Sweet Tooth's favorite licorice, which I cannot pronounce, was found in herbal medicines the world over. Research has shown that licorice has antiviral and antibacterial properties. There are multiple studies to show various compounds from licorice inhibit bacteria and viruses in the test tube. Whether as an antibiotic, i.e. it inhibits a specific metabolic pathway, or as an antiseptic, i.e. it kills nonspecifically like alcohol, I cannot tell. One review suggests, quote, the probable mechanism behind these actions is the inhibition of protein synthesis, DNA gyrase, and dihydrofolate reductase, which means they operate like quinolones and sulfa, and which to my mind suggests a nonspecific effect, like tree tea oil. Oh, and licorice is a dietary abomination second only to walnuts. It is no sweet tooth's favorite. That is enough to discredit the plaque, unless, of course, you're Swedish. 1776 AD. Quote, Australian and indigenous medicine and heating plants start to become known to the rest of the world. Melaleuca is the source of tree tea oil, bacterial and antifungal agents used in antiseptic creams and medicated shampoos. One review notes, quote, in contrast, contemporary data show that the broad-spectrum activity of tree tea oil includes antibacterial, antifungal, antiviral, and antiprotozoal activities. Not all of the activity has been characterized well in vitro, and in the few cases where clinical work has been done, data is promising, but thus far inadequate. Anything that kills that many microbial families is an antiseptic, and Melaleuca is an antiseptic. It just rips cell walls apart. That is not an antibiotic. Lavandula, used in Tibet to treat mental illness. One study found, quote, our study showed that M. officinalis and L. augustifolia, similar to fluoxetine in mild to moderate depression. But, quote, due to some restrictions in this study, including absence of a placebo group, large-scale trials are needed to investigate the antidepressant effect of these two herbs with more details. And a meta-analysis said, quote, lavender is beneficial, tolerable, and safe in treating depression. Despite obtaining promising results, they are not enough to recommend prescribing lavender to depressed patients. Further, high-quality, large-scale studies for rectifying the shortcomings of existing studies are recommended. Aren't they always? Of course, there are more mental illnesses than depression. The Garden of Health is not all that specific as to what mental illness is being treated. But they could be effective. Crassula arborescens, quote, in South Africa, it is used to treat epilepsy, as well as diarrhea, corns, and a purgative, all diseases that have the same pathophysiology. Not. There are a huge number of plants that are used to treat seizures. This may work in mice, but I could find nothing in humans, except it is a toxic succulent. Aloe zebrina, quote, a powder from the stem of leaf bases is taken twice a day by women after childbirth. But why? They don't say. A search of the internet suggests it is used to, quote, cleanse the system. I have no idea what that means. Dodonea viscosa V. spatulata, quote, widely found in the valleys and gullies across central and eastern Australia, it is used to relieve the pain of snake bite. Of course, no clinical trials, so who knows? Withania somnifera, quote, used as a stress reliever and a calming tonic. Withania strengthens the immune system, and helps the body cope with stress. What is a tonic? I don't know. We will go with this definition. A tonic is something, sometimes a medicine, that makes you feel better and restores you to health. But in one review, quote, recent systematic reviews showed that supplementing stressed adults with ashwagandha can decrease morning cortisol levels, indicating stress-relieving properties. Several studies presented benefits in fertility problems, anxiety, metabolic disorders such as dyslipidemia, insulin resistance and diabetes, cognitive function, and obsessive-compulsive disorders. And as I have written multiple times on the silliness of boosting the immune system, basically, boosting the immune system is a bad idea, but doesn't really happen. Artisima absinthium, quote, a nerve tonic, traditionally used to treat indigestion and stomach pain. A nerve tonic that is believed to calm, soothe, or strengthen the nerves. It is used to address symptoms like nervousness, anxiety, and irritability, aiming to restore balance and promote relaxation. Of course, as indigestion is, I suppose, due to nerves. I used to get the worst dyspepsia around midnight when I was on call as an intern. Cimetidine was released just in time to get me through the night. Perhaps I should have tried Artemisia. As to the literature, I cannot find anything on Artemisia in clinical trials for any of the symptoms on the PubMeds, but a lot of other alleged uses, which is common for a number of plants. Each plant has too numerous to count potential uses, up to and including treating broiler chicken coccidioides, whatever that is. Juniperus chinensis pyramidalis, quote, a liquor brewed from fresh juniper berries is used as a tonic. Gin and tonic? Gin as tonic? Works for me. Gin has juniper berries, though, not leaves. Never mind. But a PubMed search finds nothing on using junipericus in a way that would be called a tonic. Myrtus communis, quote, in India, used as a treatment of affliction of the mind. Externally, it is used in the treatment of acne, wounds, gum infections, and hemorrhoids. Whatever an infliction of the mind might be, Heather Nova might need it. Truly a wonder drug that works wonders. Quote, a pharmacological investigation revealed that M. communis possessed an anti-inflammatory, analgesic, antimicrobial, antiparasitic, antioxidant, anti-diabetic, anti-cancer, anti-mutagenic, immunomodulatory, dermatologic, cardiovascular, central nervous system, and gastrointestinal protective effects, among numerous other biological effects. Truly the Swiss Army knife of herbs. Although I could find nothing that could be considered an affliction of the mind on the PubMeds. But I do admire the way their plants can treat a diverse number of ailments that have nothing in common anatomically or physiologically. The opposite of the magic bullet that is antibiotics. The early quote should have read, from head to toe, inside out, every plant for every part of the body. But there was one review that suggests efficacy against hemorrhoids. I will note that two of the three references in the updated review have nothing to do with hemorrhoids that I can find. It is always interesting to go back to the original source material. As to gum infections, wounds, and acne, nothing on the PubMeds. Thymus vulgaris, quote, Pliny the Elder noted its use to treat melancholy and aberrations of the mind. Maybe. Quote, thymus vulgaris leaves, a traditional food source, demonstrate potential for enhancing the prospective and retrospective memory, alleviating anxiety and depression, and improving quality of sleep in university students. But there is just the one study. Melissa officinalis, quote, uses, medicinal, sedative, enema, eyewash, fevers, colds, antiviral, antiseptic, stomach cramps, bruises, ulcers, wounds, toothache, as well as its multiple culinary and cosmetic uses. This is a widely studied product for multiple physiologic processes, herpes, depression, metabolic diseases as examples. I could not find any compelling studies, and a meta-analysis all point to multiple methodologic flaws. So it may have effects, the may being the most popular word in the conclusions. But there was little in the PubMeds for uses listed in the Garden of Healing. But at least the Garden of Healing was not totally gullible. Quote, deadly doses and killer combinations. Nature does not always mean safe. Plants can cure, but they can also kill. And sometimes the same plant does both. Exclamation point. Digitalis, also known as foxglove, can be used to treat heart failure. But the plant itself is very poisonous. Get the dose only a little wrong, and the consequences are deadly. Like all drugs, some plants are dangerous in certain combinations or when mixed with other medicines. For example, St. John's wort, a common herbal antidepressant, interferes with the action of several prescription drugs, including the contraceptive pill. Treat plant-based medicines like you would any other drug, and watch the doses and combinations you take. So my conclusion, well, I was not overly impressed with the scientific rigor that went into the signs. For some reason, I find the word signage annoying at the Garden of Health. Most of the plants were either debunked or unsupported by reality, science, for their putative uses. I know they had many limitations for space, but their results were just sad, vague, gullible, misleading, and often unsupported. I would have suspected that the content was generated by AI, except the signs are old. However, it is a wonderful botanical garden to wander about and look and marvel at the beauty and diversity of plants, even if the explanatory signs are blech. And that ends the 249th QuackCast Revenant Edition. As mentioned at the beginning, photographs of the signs, as well as references and oh-so-clever hyperlinks, can be found at the Science-Based Medicine article of the same name, Garden of Healing, from July 15th, 2025. Thanks for listening. Bye.